Do any of you watch EastEnders on a regular basis?
No.
Very good, none of you. I'm sure you're all aware of the famous ending where it goes, the doof doofs.
Yeah.
You're aware of that. The dramatic ending when normally someone is caught out in a relationship and then you get this kind of doof 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 doof, that bit. Well, if the Bible had doof doofs, this would be probably one of the places where they would be. Actually, on the surface, it's a pretty self-explanatory reading. We all see Jesus as we know him. Someone eager to forgive and aiming to show each individual he meets the right path that will give them joy in life. And we also know that first century Palestine was very different to 21st century Britain. But tragically, around the world, this punishment still happens in some places. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus modifies the Jewish law, and this kind of punishment is replaced with Jesus' command to turn the other cheek. It's also another sad indication of how women were treated then. You can't read this passage, can you, without questioning, where is the man in this apparent tryst? So what do we know? Well, the woman is married. The Greek words confirm that. It's kind of lost a little bit in our English translation. And we know that the whole situation is a carefully orchestrated ploy by the Jewish leaders to catch Jesus out. If Jesus follows the law, specifically Deuteronomy 22:22, she should die. Although if the law was being applied properly, the man should receive the same punishment. What the Jewish authorities are doing here is they're trying to trap Jesus. If Jesus doesn't confirm the law, the stoning, then the Jews have him. They can say he blasphemed, he doesn't uphold the law. In other words, he's a false prophet, a false rabbi, a false preacher. But on the other hand, a harsh verdict discredits him in front of the people, especially considering the message he's been giving them. The crowds that are gathered there expect Jesus to simply let her go. Jesus is in a bind here, and once again, he turns the situation around with a question. If you are without sin, then go ahead, throw that stone. Now, despite this appearing like a quickly arranged spectacle, it's not. There is process and precedent in these scenes of execution. In order for her to be guilty, she has to have been caught in the actual act of adultery. And in order to do that, there would have had to be some sort of what we would call these days a sting operation involving witnesses. That would all have to have been sorted out and happened. And under the Jewish law, the witnesses would have to prove they must be clean of wrongdoing in order to be proper witnesses. And here's the thing. It is the witnesses' job to cast the first stone, to initiate the stoning. And when they can't, the crowd disperses. But we can't let the crowd off due to a technicality. They were there, baying for blood. There was honour seen in the throw up of the stone that deals the final blow. This is a pack execution. A crowd wanting blood. Each is there in judgment. And this is really important because John is purposely setting his story in this way so that when we read this, he wants us to contemplate. Are we in the crowd? It brings forward difficult questions in our lives. How can we condemn when we ourselves are condemned? This is the reason that Jesus has to die on the cross. It's because we all sin. Should we stand in judgment as a pack or as an individual over another? And let's not forget what Jesus highlights here. It's not that the woman is free from the law, but that her wrong is forgiven by Jesus. The important line, of course, is go and sin no more. And we must not lose sight of the fact that Jesus, when the dust settles, says to her, don't do it anymore. Stop committing adultery. So there's kind of a two-point conclusion for us. Firstly, we must replace judgment with forgiveness. But that doesn't mean that we don't teach right from wrong. Jesus clearly says to the woman, what you did was wrong. But Jesus says, don't punish her, forgive her. And the second point is that any of us, me or any one of you, could have thrown a stone in that situation if we were living in that culture. Because as a people, we tend to follow the crowd, don't we? None are without sin, but Jesus here is saying, examine yourself. You will find sin, but then work it out. Go and sin no more. It's a strong message for us to bring the world. And there's much that we can act in a judgmental way about the marriage issue, abortion, sexual sin, consumerism, prostitution, materialism. This passage does not mean we can't say what is sin and what is not sin. The Bible, and therefore God, is clear on sin. But what John is saying here is take the example of Jesus in the way he deals with the sin of the woman. John is saying, when one such as these comes to you, you love them. You welcome them. You forgive them. And you tell them to go and sin no more. Amen.